Now, it was an unusual sight on Capitol Hill yesterday as U.S. senators heard testimony from some of the leading coronavirus task force members virtually while they were sitting a prescribed 6 feet apart. Perhaps the most recognizable member of the task force, Dr. Anthony Fauci, addressed lawmakers in the first major hearing about the ongoing novel coronavirus outbreak. So far, in terms of confirmed cases, the disease has affected more than 1.3 million people in the United States. There are also currently more than 80,000 confirmed deaths in the U.S. During his testimony, Dr. Fauci warned that reopening states for commerce and work too early could make the COVID-19 outbreak worse. Our next guest joins us to talk about Fauci's hearing and reactions from lawmakers. Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of their What the Health podcast. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Can you give us some background on the why? What led up to this hearing?
Well, the Senate has only just come back. They had left, both houses of Congress left in mid-March for a scheduled recess, but then obviously because of the coronavirus situation, they didn't come back for quite a while. So the Senate did come back, although interestingly, the chairman of the committee, Senator Alexander, wasn't actually in the room because he is self-isolating. Because one of his staff members tested positive for coronavirus, and none of the witnesses were actually in the room because they're all self-isolating because they were exposed to someone who tested positive at the White House, presumably Vice President Pence's communications director.
One of the big questions right now around the country and in states and local governments as well is when to reopen things that have been closed, how fast to do it. What were some of the main messages from Dr. Fauci and the other panelists?
I think there's been a big concern from not just Dr. Fauci, but other public health experts that if states really don't follow the guidelines that the White House put out a couple of weeks ago about making sure that there's 14 days of, you know, declining cases, and if they open too fast and without appropriate testing and contact tracing and isolating people who've been exposed just the way many of the witnesses and members yesterday are isolating because they've been exposed, that we could see this come back. You know, there's this sort of working theory that when it gets warmer, it's going to go away. But we pretty much know that's not true because we're seeing plenty of cases in places that are warmer than we are and that have been warmer than we are. It's not clear that it's going away in the summer. And even if it does, you know, go down in the summer, it may well come roaring back in the fall, exactly the way the pandemic flu did in 1918.
You mentioned the testing, and that's one of the big benchmarks. Do we have enough testing material and capacity in place to successfully reopen? The issue of contact tracing, what kind of things did Dr. Fauci have to tell senators about that?
Well, the Trump administration general and Dr. Fauci insist that there is enough testing. That is still arguable. And there's obviously in some places are better situated than others in terms of testing. Testing is complicated. It's a variety of things. It's lab capacity, of which there does appear to be a fair bit. But then there's also just the capacity to actually physically go out. Do you have the swabs? Do you have the testing, you know, the reagents? Do you have the testing kits? Do you have the people to do it? Do you have proper places to do it? Are you testing the right people? If you're only testing people who are in the hospital, then you have no idea how widely it's circulating in the community. There really aren't enough tests yet to start testing people without symptoms. That's a big problem. So testing, I think I would say, is uneven. And that's some of the concern from some of the public health officials that some of these states are opening up without that, you know, needed backbone of testing. And once you test, you need to contact trace. You need to go out and then locate the people who've been exposed to the person who's testing positive, and you need to get those people to self-isolate so they won't go out and infect more people.
Talking to Julie Rovner from Kaiser Health News about testimony before a U.S. Senate committee by Dr. Anthony Fauci and other key members of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Want to give a listen to Dr. Fauci responding here when asked about what happens in the fall if, as you mentioned, Julie, there is a return in big numbers of the illness. Here's some of what he had to say.
If we do not respond in an adequate way when the fall comes, given that it is without a doubt that there will be infections that will be in the community, then we run the risk of having a resurgence. I would hope by that point in time, in the fall, that we have more than enough to respond adequately. But if we don't, there will be problems.
And we're seeing, Julie, some countries around the world returning to stricter measures after loosening things up, after seeing sort of return, bounce back, outbreaks. How big is the concern about that that you touched on earlier come the fall?
It's a huge concern. We've had, you know, places like Germany and South Korea that did, you know, a really sort of exceptional job at catching this early and shutting things down and getting testing going. And they opened up again, and they've both had, you know, some resurgence. I was just looking at pictures of England where they've just lifted sort of England started out sort of not locking things down, and it caught up with them, and they locked things down late like we did. And then they were starting to open things up, and now I just saw a picture of people crowding buses and other kinds of public transportation, which is exactly the kind of thing that will lead to outbreaks again. It's really difficult. We're not going to be able to just flip a switch and everything's going to be open. When you reopen, you have to do it very carefully.
There was a testy exchange between Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci. I want to give a listen to Senator Paul. He argued that given some of the modeling, he says, has been wrong, the U.S. could follow Sweden's lead and keep schools and businesses open. Here's a little bit about what Senator Paul had to say.
And really, the history of this, when we look back, will be of wrong prediction after wrong prediction after wrong prediction, starting with Ferguson in England. So I think we ought to have a little bit of humility in our belief that we know what's best for the economy. And as much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make a decision. We can listen to your advice, but there are people on the other side saying there's not going to be a surge and that we can safely open the economy. And the facts will bear this out.
And now that Ferguson model he mentioned was a worst case scenario. It modeled if the United States did absolutely nothing in response to the coronavirus, which nobody really expected. But okay, what do you make of that reaction? That's representative of pushback against some of the coronavirus control measures.
Well, there obviously is a lot of pushback. I mean, there's a lot of people who think that the government is overstating the case, although Dr. Fauci himself said that he thinks that deaths at least are being understated because people are dying. And, you know, there are probably more people dying of coronavirus than we are able to confirm are dying of it. Plus, there are people dying for lack of other care because they're afraid to go to the hospital. We've seen lots of stories, not just in the U.S., but around the world of people dying at home. Not clear whether they're dying of heart attacks and strokes and other things that would happen, or whether they have COVID-19 and simply were not able or did not seek care in time or might have died anyway. So it's sort of a big issue, and we don't, you know, there's so much we still don't know. This virus has literally only been around for 6 months. So it's hard to really, you know, criticize people for being wrong about projections. The one thing we do know is that it's very contagious and that it spreads easily, and that has been absolutely borne out.
To that point, here's a little bit of Dr. Fauci now responding to Senator Paul about predictions and humility about what we do and don't know.
I don't give advice about economic things. I don't give advice about anything other than public health. So I wanted to respond to that. The second thing is that you use the word we should be humble about what we don't know. And I think that falls under the fact that we don't know everything about this virus, and we really better be very careful, particularly when it comes to children, because the more and more we learn, we're seeing things about what this virus can do that we didn't see from the studies in China or in Europe.
And Julie, with that in mind, what are some of the biggest questions that we don't have really solid answers to right now?
Well, we don't know at what point people are most contagious. It is clear now that people are contagious before they are symptomatic. We don't know about people who remain asymptomatic, who just never get symptoms, how contagious they are. We don't know, the sort of most serious thing that we don't know is how immune they are after they recover. Are they able to get it again? That seems unlikely. Dr. Fauci himself said that certainly it's likely that people who recover from this will have some immunity, but we don't know how much. We don't know how long it will last. Remember, we get, you know, flu shots every year. That's partly because different strains of flu circulate. But, you know, there are a lot of vaccines that wear off, and as do antibodies. You know, having something once doesn't necessarily mean you can never get it again. might mean you can't get it again for 6 months. It might be a year. It might be 5 years or 10 years. We don't know. We don't know if the virus is mutating. We certainly have seen sort of different types of sequela, things that the virus is causing in some parts of the country but not others. There's this new concern about children and who are having serious heart problems. I mean, we've definitely seen a lot of cardiac issues. You know, at first it was thought this was purely a respiratory virus, and now it's very clear that it attacks many other parts of the body, many other organs. And sort of every day there's another kind of scary story about the things that this particular virus might be able to do to people.
We're talking to Julie Rovner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News, host of KHN's What the Health podcast. She's with us to talk about yesterday's COVID-19 testimony from Dr. Anthony Fauci and others on the White House coronavirus panel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What were some of your takeaways from Dr. Fauci's testimony if you followed it? What do you want to see from state governments, including Wisconsin's, when it comes to what we do, how quickly we open up the economy? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about Dr. Anthony Fauci's virtual testimony in front of a Senate panel yesterday. Julie Rovner stays with us, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Julie, looking at the road ahead now, the question again of how fast things reopen, it's already happening, right? Some states are already making the decision to allow a lot more businesses to reopen.
Yes, many states are. I was actually just watching a press conference of my governor here in Maryland, Governor Hogan, who's announcing that the stay-at-home order is going to end Friday at 5 p.m., but not for the counties immediately surrounding Washington, D.C., which is where I live, because cases here are still going up, not as rapidly as they were, but clearly, and this seems to be happening in a number of states. The governors are saying that the sort of perhaps outlying or places that haven't been affected as much can start to reopen, but cities or places with more cases and sort of bigger problems should stay closed for a while. So that seems to count the Washington, D.C. and its immediately surrounding suburbs in Maryland and Virginia. Likewise, it's possible that some of New York will be able to open up before New York City. We're seeing sort of some of these states be divided. This is kind of a delicate balance, because once things start to open someplace, people who should stay locked down may want to flock to the places where things are open. That's a big concern among public health professionals, that people are going to then take the virus with them to these places that haven't been very affected and make them more affected.
Another issue I wanted to bring up with you, Julie, I think you've been covering this, health coverage in the United States. A lot of people have lost jobs permanently or temporarily. In many cases, that means people losing health coverage. What's going on with that?
That's right. There's actually a piece out today from my colleagues at the Kaiser Family Foundation that found of the 31 million people who have applied for uninsurance in the last month and a half or so, I think 26.8 million of them are likely to be losing their health insurance as well. The good news is that most of those people will be eligible either for expanded Medicaid or subsidies on the Affordable Care Act exchanges. And when you even though the Trump administration has chosen not to open up the Affordable Care Act exchanges nationally for everyone, if you lose your job, you do automatically have a window to sign up for Affordable Care Act coverage. So a large number of people should be able to obtain affordable health insurance, even if they've lost their job. But it's still, you know, not a great situation. I think it's going to may well play into the election this fall and having people really sort of rethink this idea of, is it really good for health insurance to be tied to your job?
And looming over all of that, Julie, is there's still a big court case, right, that could theoretically overturn the Affordable Care Act, I think still in its entirety. What's the latest on that?
That is correct. It's going to go before the Supreme Court this fall. We won't get a decision on it before the election, but we will probably have oral arguments before the court before the election. This is a case that was filed by a number of Republican attorneys general and a couple of governors arguing that Congress, when it zeroed out the penalty for not having insurance in 2017, inadvertently or on purpose, invalidated the entire law, because the only way the law had been found constitutional in 2012 is because of that tax. And if you make the tax go away, then the entire law has to go away. And legal experts, even legal experts who don't love the Affordable Care Act, say that's a pretty dubious claim, but they've already gotten some courts to agree with them. And now the Supreme Court will decide once again whether the Affordable Care Act can stand or could be eliminated.
Julie, I talked too much and didn't leave enough time for callers, but I want to pass on a question from David in Ridgeland in our last minute. He wonders why we're not just quarantining high-risk people and letting lower-risk people be out and about. In our last minute, can you tackle that question?
Yeah, because that's everybody is at risk. If lower risk people get it, they can take it home to higher risk people. We have seen that even children can get it and can get seriously ill. So everybody is potentially at serious risk. Obviously, some people are at higher risk than others. Those people are already staying home. But we are definitely not ready in most of the country to have everybody walking around yet.
Julie, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Julie Ravner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of KHN's What the Health podcast. She joined us today for a look at Dr. Anthony Fauci's testimony in front of a Senate panel yesterday and his warning that reopening states too quickly could make the COVID-19 outbreak get worse.